Springer Mountain Farms, the purest, best-tasting chicken available. Visit SpringerMTN.com and join the flock for cooking tips, coupons, and great information. Springer Mountain Farms, simply superior chicken. Always great care and great taste.
From Nashville's WSM Radio, the original home of the Grand Ole Opry, this is a Coffee, Country, and Cody podcast.
So we've all gathered around the board. As Lester Flatt used to say,
we're going to gang around the microphone.
Set but we up each have our own.
Our podcast. Yes, we do.
Wow. Yeah. We're fancy like that.
Yeah, I want to go handheld one of these days.
Okay.
You know, just feel empowered somehow.
That's what the TikTokers do. They take their little Shure microphones and just hold it and sing in front of the phone. Just walk around like that.
That's what I am right there. I'm a TikToker. You know that, Aaron Cooper.
If we get that on video.
You are now. You are on TikTok. Viral.
Tell people where they can find what we do on Coffee Country and Cody in the social world.
Absolutely. You can go find us on TikTok at WSM Radio. Charles Esten is blowing up for the third time on our TikTok right now. He owns it.
He's like our golden ticket every time. We're like, hey.
Our golden TikTok boy.
You know what you are? You're our Willy Wonka.
Yes. Yes. And then you can watch full episodes of Coffee Country and Cody on our YouTube, which is also WSM Radio. I upload those every day.
Speaking of Wonka, the new one is really quite good. We just watched that the other day.
Chalamet.
It's very, very good.
Yeah.
You didn't like it?
I haven't seen it.
Oh.
I just have a hard time.
It's a complete musical, which is fantastic,
well, then I'll
too.
Love it.
Yeah, really good songs.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, I divert us. Sorry. That's my job here, to divert. I have the detour.
And Charlie also pointed out that on the YouTube Coffee Country and Cody shows, they're there forever.
Ever and ever.
That's
amen.
Right. Yes.
We really need to watch what we say.
Give you pause right there. Forever is a long time. David Nail came to see us. Daniel Donato came to see us. Shane Smith and the Saints were in the studio, and we're going to share those on the podcast today.
Three very different personalities.
Yeah.
Yes, big time, right?
Yeah. And David Nail, with that heartfelt sentiment that we all have, if you've lost particularly a parent or a grandparent or that person who may be have that role in your life. Mm-hmm. And for him, it was his grandfather, and he just wants to pick up the phone and call.
Yeah.
Just one more time. Just hear that voice one more time. Aww. I wish I could call.
It was so sweet. His voice is just beautiful. Mm-hmm. I love David Nail's voice. And then Shane Smith and the Saints, I got to work their Grand Ole Opry debut, and I can tell you this, the Opry loved them some Shane Smith and the Saints. Full on standing ovation. Incredible. They really just brought down the house.
They brought a lot of fans too.
They sure did. Mm-hmm.
And they performed live for us in studio, as did David with his new single. And then we met Daniel Donato for the first time. And he gave us a tutorial on Merle Travis, Jerry Reed, Chet Atkins, whom I leave it all in a matter of about a 30-second segment, totally unrehearsed, totally impromptu, Aaron.
Give that boy a masterclass. Yeah. You know how Natalie Portman does those on how to act? Christina Aguilera does one on voice. He needs one. And a true embodiment of what it's like to move to Nashville and have friends who have friends, and you hear about these people. And, oh, you need to meet Daniel Donato. He was one of the first names I heard when I moved here almost 3 years ago, and I finally got to meet him here. He is just such a character.
And you know why? Because you're so cosmic. That's why.
I see
Cosmic
what you did
country,
there.
Daniel Donato. That's what I'm talking about.
You were one of the first names 30 years ago, and we're almost celebrating the 30th anniversary, just a couple of weeks away.
25th of April was my first day on the air with Charlie Daniels in studio, drinking chocolate raspberry truffle coffee and making fun of me on the air live.
Now, that's really Willy Wonka right there.
There it is.
Then the first two phone calls, it was Jeannie Seely, followed by Gene Shepard. Because Gene Shepard wasn't going to be outdone, I'm telling you. Ever.
And you thought she didn't like you.
I thought, boy, she's tough. I'd watched her on TNN. Fell in love with her immediately when I met her. Coffee, Country, and Cody.
This is Coffee, Country, and Cody.
I love seeing this guy's face come through that studio door. We have known each other for a long, long time. David Nail, welcome to Coffee Country and Cody, man.
Thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
So what year did you get to town we first met? Because I met you when you first got here.
Well, I came a couple of different times. The first time I came right out of high school in 98 and quickly retreated back home.
Well, we did that to Garth too, you know.
Yeah. And, a lot of people do that.
Came a couple of years later when I was a little bit more, it's funny, I thought I was a little bit more mentally prepared, but when I was still a baby then and had no clue. I mean, I didn't know anybody. I just, you know, I'd gone to about my third or fourth college and they weren't passing me either. So I felt like, you know, I probably should put all my eggs in this singing basket and try my best to make it.
Larry Gatlin made a reference the other day that he was going to do a Towns Van Zandt tribute at the Opry and how long it took to sing Pancho and Lefty as a solo, because it's a duet. We know from Willie and Merle. He said, it's longer than fifth grade both times I took it.
That's hilarious. But yeah, there was probably a couple of grades that I could have done that to. Definitely in college, for sure.
So you went back home for a couple of years. What'd you do in between? Did you pursue music still, or what?
I mean, I was singing, of course, and you know, I went to Arkansas State University for a year and a half and joined a fraternity, and you learn some really bad habits that I could apply to when I moved back. And it's funny. I just thought, you know, I was really unprepared for graduating high school. I honestly thought, oh, there's not a 13th grade. Like, what am I supposed to do?
Did you want to be a ball player, didn't you?
Yeah. And I came here initially and played junior college baseball at Aquinas College when they still had sports. And then literally as soon as I got here, they announced that they were getting rid of sports. So I was like, well, okay, that ship has sailed. And so I had to kind of figure out a plan on the fly, and everybody else was trying to figure out where they were going to transfer and play. And I, at that point, realized that, you know, I wasn't going to be a professional at that, you know, but maybe this other dream had a little bit more potential. And so I began, you know, singing a lot more, and that's where I had my Tanya Tucker story that I was referencing earlier.
Tanya is in the news because she has a new tequila cantina in town.
Tanya Tucker's tequila cantina going to be on the second floor of Nudie's, opening on May the 2nd.
Are you doing PR for them?
Yes. Unofficially, yes.
She just wants an invite to the grand opening.
That's right. I better be there.
And a nice merch bag.
I just want to stand outside and watch people leave.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But your Tanya Tucker story, you said, I've got the best.
Okay.
I mean, it's of all the stories I have to tell about my time, it's pretty legendary.
You want to tell it?
Well, I'll try to keep it as brief as possible. I was selling boots at Boot Country downtown, and it was literally like the one of 2 days that I thought, you know, I got to get a cowboy hat. So it was like one of the 2 days of my life where I've worn a cowboy hat. And so I was walking out to go to my car to leave, and this limousine pulls up, window rolls down, and I knew exactly who it was. It's Tanya Tucker. She leans out and she goes, "Hey, cowboy." Uh-oh. And I was like, uh-oh. Oh, my gosh. And she said, what do you do? And I said, well, which is funny because I didn't sing at the time, or like other than my apartment. And I said, well, I'm a singer. And she goes, oh, I bet you are. And she shouted out this number for me to call. She goes, call me tomorrow. So I'm like the worst memory in the history of the world, you know, ADD boy over here. And so the whole way home, which is probably about a 25-minute drive, I'm saying this number over and over. I got home. I called like every friend that I had and said, I've got my big break. I'm gonna call Tanya Tucker tomorrow. I'm going to go in there. I'm going to sing. And so the next morning, first thing, 9 o'clock happens. I don't even know, like, if that's when the music business opens. Now I know that it doesn't. It's 11 o'clock now.
Yeah, it's 11.
And so I called, and this young receptionist answered the phone, and I tell her the story. I said, Tanya told me to call, and she goes, okay, hold on a second. She put me on hold for about 5 minutes. Finally comes back and she goes, I really don't know how to explain this other than the fact that Tanya does this a lot. And I wish you the best of luck. And that was it. And so after like 2 hours of calling every friend, my parents, you know, it was like 10:30 at night. I'm waking people up saying, I finally got my big break. So then I had to retreat to, you know, this is before cell phones. I had to retreat back and call everybody. They're, you know, wondering like what had happened. And I was just like, evidently, that's something that Tanya partakes in a lot, you know, late at night. So that's the story. My Tanya Tucker big break moment that wasn't a big break.
Please tell me you had a chance to share that with her.
I have not. In fact, I went to Glenn Campbell's last show here where she was, and evidently she was trying to have a moment backstage, and I thought, man, this would be the perfect, not perfect time to confront her about this and ask her about, you know, ruining my dreams back when I was a 20-year-old, 21-year-old kid.
Here's what needs to happen. Collab. You guys need to collaborate on something now. You need to just say, you owe me one, I'll put on the hat, but let's do something together.
The best part of that's the best part, my favorite part about it is like literally like one of 2 days that I ever wore a cowboy hat in my life is the day like Tanya Tucker thought, hey, cowboy.
Well, you know the great story on Toby Keith was it was the one guy in his pheasant hunting group that had on the cowboy hat.
Yeah.
That brought about the birth of Should Have Been a Cowboy, because she came over to him at the table and asked him to dance. And as he were walking out to the dance floor, Toby said, Should Have Been a Cowboy, because they had on their camo.
Oh, wow.
He wasn't wearing a cowboy.
I've never heard that
hat.
Story. That's great. That is great.
So you fast forward, and now you got monster hits that people know every word to. You're coming to the radio station to debut the brand new single, but we got to do homework first.
Okay.
Life gets in the way.
Exactly.
Right? What subject so what, were we doing what, early this morning?
What grade homework are we doing and what
second
subject?
Second grade reading, maybe a little bit of math, but it's crazy. Like, I feel like from the first of the year, you know, you'd have this little passage that was probably a couple of paragraphs, and you'd have to time them to read it. They'd have to read so many words and not make any errors. And then literally the one day they brought home and suddenly it was two papers. Like two entire pages, and it's like, whoa. Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, they're trying to trick them. Everything's like a, you know, like the I before E except after C. And so they put a like 15 words that applies to just mm-hmm. trying to trick them instead of like, hey, let's just teach them. It's very, very different than when I was in second grade back in the ancient times, you know? when I was in second grade, I feel like all you did was recess and maybe 2 plus 2. And you had multiple recesses. Now they only have one recess. Yeah. And you know, but we also don't have parents bringing us Chick-fil-A every day either.
That's true. That is true.
David Nail, if you just joined us. So you and Catherine have how many now?
We have three. We have 8-year-old twins and then a 3-year-old, 3.5-year-old who is pretty daggum special. She started out sleeping with us last night. She's like the child, like you can't tell no.
Uh-huh.
And
I believe among the last times you were here, you announced that you had just found out that you guys were pregnant with your third child.
We had a lot of issues, a lot of trouble getting pregnant. And, you know, it was a funny story. Peter's heard this, my guitar player over here, a million times. But it was Catherine came to me one day and she said, hey, babe, we don't have any children. And I was like, you're kidding. Are you sure?
Things
Are you
have been
sure?
going so nicely.
Yeah. We've been married for several years. And I was like, and she goes, well, that's a problem. And you have a doctor's appointment on Monday. And I was like, sweet. Oh. This is how this is going to go. We're moving this quickly. And so it was about, I don't know. I have a hard time doing the math now, but we it took a couple of years after that moment to initially get pregnant with the twins. And then 5 years after that to get pregnant with a baby. And so they're all miracles. You know, every child's a miracle, but my three are definitely all miracles. And thank the good Lord for them every day. And the little one, you know, we had been unsuccessful with IVF in between the twins and her. And so I always call her the extra miracle. She was like, you know, the icing on the cake because, you know, I think whenever you have your children, you just can't possibly imagine not having one. You know, there it's just become so much a part of you. And we're all the time talking about, well, what if, like, because with IVF, you know, they were all sort of happen at the same time and you just kind of get to try to pick and choose when you're going to have them. And and so we're like, well, what if we'd had two girls first, or what if we'd had Lawson and Ellie instead of Lawson and Lily Kate? But it's crazy, the good Lord just, he makes it how it's supposed to happen, you know. And just super blessed. But yeah, I love all my children. If they're listening before they go to school, you probably should head out right now because you got to be there in 15 minutes. But the little one, she's just the spitting image of my wife. I mean, she looks exactly like my wife did at 3 or 4 years old. So
how about
it's
that?
Like reliving my wife's childhood every morning.
So they've heard you on the radio or seen you on TV. What do they think of what Dad does?
You know, it's funny because COVID happened at like the weirdest time because we had been so busy, but they were 2 or 3 years old and they don't really remember those days. And then I was home for 2 years. And so they were just like, oh, Dad doesn't work. Dad doesn't have a job. we've got the dad that's just a bum. And then suddenly we started working again. And so they sort of found out later, you know, at 5, 6, 7 years old. And so, you know, my oldest daughter, Lily Kate, is such a performer. She wants to be Taylor Swift. She's knee deep in that right now. And so they came to a show in Memphis last fall, and both of my girls came out on stage and danced. And like the song was over and the moment had passed. And I looked at them like, hey, that was great. You know, I'm a little choked up. And then they let me know with their eyes that, no, we're not done.
We
want one more song. And so I think it was like Let It Rain, which is totally not, you know, let's like shake our booties on stage with dad's song. But they found a way to figure it out. Sure. And they did it.
This is Coffee, Country, and Cody.
Very excited to meet Daniel Tonato for the first time. Brand new music, an album called Reflector, which is available wherever you get your music. And Daniel Donato's Cosmic Country in the Caverns, Pelham, Tennessee, coming next month, April 20th, which is actually induction night, I want to mention that, for Scotty McCreery to become the newest member of the Grand Ole Opry. Well, good morning, Daniel.
Good morning, brother.
We're sitting here swapping stories and singing old songs from the golden age of country music, mm-hmm. from Lefty Frizzell and Merle Haggard, and we were referencing Curly Putman, and you said something about green, green grass at home, and I did my recitation, my finest Porter Wagoner moment there, you know. There's a guard and a sad old padre, and arm in arm we'll walk at daybreak, and once again, I'll touch the green, green grass of home.
Not the harmony right there.
And you lit up, we just started down that writer's rabbit hole in traditional country music, and your name is, when you see your name, you often see a reference to your incredible talent related to Chet Atkins and Jerry Reed.
Oh, yeah.
I think that says all that needs to be said about what people think about you.
Oh, right on. I love Chet Atkins. I don't think I'd be into country music if it wasn't for Chet Atkins. It kind of all started with him when I was 14. And I started getting into his records and the records he produced and everything at RCA Studio A, and it was all downhill from there.
Do you know, or did you know, Chet's connection to Merle Travis, and that, you know, he and Merle were great friends, different playing styles, but...
Way different. Yeah, Merle had that more... He had that more...
For people who don't know, give us a little sample there.
Yes, like the way Merle Travis would go about something, you know... Well, his 9-pound hammer is a little too heavy for my size, honey, for my size. Well, roll on, buddy, don't you roll so slow. How can I roll when the wheel won't roll? He's more...
A thumb picker. Would you reference it that way?
Yeah, Travis picking.
Yeah.
Right, he's picking the two of them, and he's not as nuanced about it as Chet is. He's just real rough. The Jerry Reed. But Chet Atkins had this nice way about just being very graceful and elegant and illustriously on point with his accuracy. Maybe with something like Freight Train. He's picking a little less hard there, you know, and he's doing all these great, you know, Merle never really found himself getting up, you know, past a couple frets unless he was doing chords, but Chet was just able to phrase and do all the single note stuff.
Just like a guitar version of Bob Ross's painting show.
That is a beautiful comparison.
You do this so
That's
well.
That's great, brother. Yeah. Oh, I love Bob Ross.
Who doesn't?
I know.
Or didn't.
Let's give this tree a fret.
Okay, so on this, in the same vein as Bob Ross, you know, his catchphrase being happy accidents. Mm-hmm. Have you had any recent songwriting happy accidents where you've been working on something that you didn't expect to play out the way it did and it turned out to be perfect?
Every song.
That's great.
Every song I write, yeah. You know, I think I got taught really early on that it's best to listen and not know what's about to happen, you know. And when I go down to write a song, I kind of like do what Buck Owens did, where he says, you know, he just sits down, closes his eyes and says a prayer and tries to set himself up for success and just listens to what the song wants to say.
I read an article Rolling Stone about you. You said discovery is the key.
I think it's one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you grew up, I'm looking at a probably 10, 12 year old you.
Oh, right on.
A particular place that I found an article in Atlantic City, New Jersey is where you spent your early years before your family moved to Middle Tennessee.
Yeah, we were living in different parts of New Jersey, and then we moved to Spring Hill, Tennessee when I was 8 years old.
Was your dad involved with automotive there, or was it just...
No, he does software, and the money he was making in New Jersey wasn't really good, and we ended up being in a bad neighborhood and in bad schools, and my dad married my mom when I was four and adopted me and decided that he wanted to start a family with my mom and give his kids a better life. And so they left New Jersey and they came to Spring Hill, Tennessee, of all places. And he got a good gig here. And it ended up working out for the best. We were an hour away from the mecca of the greatest American music. Mm-hmm.
Shocking that New Jersey hasn't used that as their slogan. Bad neighborhoods, bad schools.
Yeah.
But do me a favor, if you don't want, take me back about 2 weeks, March 7th and 8th. At the Ryman, because you would have spent years in the shadow of that building, busking on Lower Broad, tons of time at Roberts.
Yeah, Roberts.
Well, and you started doing that when you were 14, right? You were busking at 14.
That's right, Bill. Yeah.
So, what was it like to stand on that stage?
Well, it seems like I feel like I have this kind of feels like a cosmic deal or something that I've made with my guitar. Uh-huh. Where it's just the more I play and the more I stay focused on that and I just give it all back to it, I can kind of have visions in my head, and then in 10 years, they're in my Google Calendar.
So what's in the Google Calendar for 2034?
I just want to have a good posture and a tour bus.
There you go. All right.
Hey. By then.
And just a couple more good songs. Yeah. But yeah, I played 464 shows at Roberts, 4 hours a night, and that's where I discovered Bob Wills and Tom T. Hall and Waylon and Hank Sr. and Ernest Tubb and the Midnight Jamboree and all the great musicians that would play in all their bands, like Billy Bird and Buddy Emmons. And I got to play with Willie Cantu, who played with Buck Owens.
Oh, wow, the drummer for Buck Owens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I get to play with a lot of these cats at Roberts because they were still picking down there at the day, you know. And they show up in their New Balance shoes and they drink a Diet Coke and just play their butt off for 4 hours. And I get to go ask them all these crazy questions about, you know, chord inversions or... You know, how do you get act naturally to feel so fast, but it's not actually too fast? In the whole world of the legacy of great country music opened itself up to me, and I was just all in on it. You know?
Our general manager, Eric Markham, who's in studio this morning, he was sharing a story about you listening to us on a school bus. What's that backstory?
Well, I became obsessed with this the spirit of this music, I think, kind of started puppeteering me when I was really young. And, I just started diving into the history of it all. And WSM was the most obvious place to start. What is it? The Castle of the Sky.
The Air Castle.
The Air Castle of the Sky. 50,000 watts. And I started diving into those old radio shows back in the day, and I was just into it in this way that I wasn't into anything else. And so I'd listen to your show, and I'd go back and listen to the archives of the Jamboree and all the old Opry shows. And I just love it, man. I always have. And none of my friends knew what to make of me. No one was really, you know, they didn't really get, you know, Honky Tonkin' or Lost Highway when you're 14 years old, you know, but it really spoke to me at that age. And love Sig Blues and, you know, Fireball Mail and Great Speckled Bird and all that stuff. And I still love it. It's pretty much all I listen to still.
Oh, I can hear A Cuff right now if I close my eyes, and in my mind's ear, I can hear him saying, Dallas bound, fireball mail.
You do some great impressions.
He does. He really does.
Here, quite possibly, Daniel Donato.
This is Coffee Country and Coke.
Well, I hadn't pulled it up, but I made that trip a lot from South Texas, San Antonio, to Nashville.
Oh.
I'd say about 1,000 miles from Austin, Texas, to the stage of the Grand Ole Opry for the debut of our guests in studio. And you're hosting them tonight,
That's
Kelly,
right.
in their history-making moment. We've got Shane Smith and the Saints in the studio. Welcome.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Appreciate y'all having us back. We came back here, I think it was in 2019, we had a bus fire happen and we interviewed here. And it was, I think, the three of us. And it's been a cool ride to come back and get to debut it tonight. So
how many bus fires have you had in the history?
Just one, okay. Fortunately.
Was that, you were on the way to Lubbock or something,
yes,
weren't you?
Yes, that's right.
I remember that.
It was years ago, but technically, yeah, we got to interview once before here. So
nothing happened on better, the way
better
to
days.
The studio
we're
today.
We're seeing better days now. So
I want to say August of 2019, looking back through my email.
Yeah.
Does that sound about right?
Yeah, it's something about that. Yeah. It was right around there. I think it was technically December.
Okay.
Because we had just had the bus fire at the end of November in 2019. And
wow.
Anyway, so we kind of hit rock bottom last time we saw you guys. And And we've been on a little bit of a roller coaster, but it's been at some really high points lately.
Well, so. I think the next album, Norther, is the new album.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
Next album, yeah. You spoke it into existence.
Yeah.
Better days.
Oh, 100%.
And better buses.
100%.
Better days, better buses.
100%.
Nice. Yeah. You get a little sponsorship going out of that one.
Oh, man.
Throw in Prevo and others.
Well, you guys have been able to knock some checks off the bucket list in the last couple of years, right?
Yeah.
Sold out Red Rocks, which is a place I've never been to, by the way.
I
need to go see a show there, right?
You have to go if you haven't been.
Well, just before I go to the others, what is it like to stand on stage and look out at that?
It's incredible, you know, and that always has been kind of like an apex for a venue in my mind. Mm-hmm. And we got to play it with the band Lucero, which is a Memphis native. Kind of indie rock band, and then we played it with Whiskey Myers. Then we headlined it for the first time last year, and we're headlining it again this year. So,
all right, and then bucket list number two, November last year, Ryman Auditorium.
Yeah.
That's another one where you look out and it's like a lot of history in this place,
dude. 100% directly related with this, you know, and this is kind of, I guess, completing that circle. This is it's an honor to be here, and we're looking forward to it. So
did you find at Red Rocks what a lot of artists who play Red Rocks and come see us talk about is that you do not want to become overly active too early in your set because you're well above a mile above sea level.
Yeah,
and you can wind yourself very
man,
early.
Man, you
on.
Can. You definitely can, and we definitely did. I don't think we're thinking through that at all. I mean, these guys are normally on a mountain bike all day, no whether we're at that elevation or not, you know. So, but it's, you'll get winded there really quickly. And we do a lot of four-part harmony stuff with our band, so you kind of, you know, you'll catch yourself every now and then. We play a festival up in Steamboat, Colorado, and it's, what, like 11,000 feet or 10,000 feet, something like that. You'll realize it like mid first song. You're like, oh, what have I done?
I was saying, it was when we shot the fire cannons, and then all the oxygen literally disappeared on stage.
Yeah, we had pyro for the first time ever at that Red Rock show last year. And so there's like flames shooting up from the ground, and it was wild. But
you need some oxygen tanks on the side
100%,
just to go over and take a hit every once in a while.
Yeah.
Walking on stage tonight at the Grand Ole Opry, obviously that's been on the bucket list as well. So talk to us about what you're looking forward to and what do you think it's going to be like?
You know, I've actually never stepped foot in there before. I don't know if y'all have y'all seen it before.
I've been there one time. I used to live here a few years ago, and my mom came and we did like the tour. So that's the only time I've ever been inside the actual.
Yeah, I've still never seen it at all, and so I'm kind of thankful for that. You know, I've got no expectations going into it. I just, you know, obviously the venue has changed, right? We talked about the Ryman earlier. Like, there's something about like a nervous Dolly Parton backstage at the Ryman, you know, for that first opportunity to me was like, whoa, you know, you feel that, you feel the weight of that. And I felt that when we played the Ryman, and this, it's almost like the show and what it stands for and the legacy that it holds is just being a part of that whole process is just, it's just so cool getting to be asked to do it, you know? And so I truly have no expectations going into it other than we have tons of our family and loved ones here and tons of fans that have traveled in hours and hours and hours to be here. And
some of them outside the studio special. Window.
Yeah,
right
a lot
now.
Of them are right outside right now at the window here at the studio. But, I've got no expectations going into it other than, you know, just getting to be a part of that legacy and try to knock it out of the park. You
well,
know,
we just so. Celebrated 50 years of the Opry House.
Yeah, it's so
which
crazy.
Which is actually longer than we were at the Ryman.
Yeah.
And 100
so
years here in a year and a half
yeah.
of WSM radio in the Grand Ole Opry. So
yeah.
Nothing like it in entertainment
it's so
anywhere
wild.
In the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Austin is home base. Where is home originally for you, Shane?
So I grew up in Terrell, Texas, in between Dallas and Tyler, technically East Texas, but it gets a lot deeper east than that. And a lot of people correct you if you say it like this in an interview, you know, but you know, Bennett here are it on the
yeah,
fiddle.
Introduce the guys,
you know, this is Bennett Brown. He and I kind of started things off back in 2009 when we had both moved to Austin. He's originally from Versailles, Kentucky area, and
Woodford County,
yeah,
home of John Conley,
yeah,
the Yellow Jackets.
Let's go. And
we played them when I was in high school. They were one of our competitors.
Did you grow up in the castle? Is that your boyhood home in Versailles?
Yeah. And okay. Now we let the public in.
Oh, well, you know, you're benevolent. Yeah.
I love it. And then Dustin Schaefer here on lead guitar is from Victoria, Texas, which you're probably familiar with.
I am, absolutely.
The South Texas area.
Yeah.
And and we've got several. Chase Satterwhite plays the bass for us, and Zach Stover plays drums. And but anyways, yeah, that's the guys for you.
Well, Austin is home base. Norther is the new album. It's available wherever you get your music. And Kelly Sutton, have you got your lineup in front of you? Because if you don't, I have your full
lineup. It's right here. Okay. Mandy Barnett's going to be there. We got Killer Bees coming out. Charles Esten will be on the stage. We got some bluegrass with Daly and Vincent. Don Schlitz will be there. Neon Union. Lauren Elena and making their Grand Ole Opry debut, Shane Smith and the Saints.
That's it. All right. That big smile. Pretty look at cool. that.
Right. Look at that. Thank you.
So where are we going musically, Charlie?
Set up Adeline for us. And the folks on Circle will get to see the video for this
okay,
as well.
Cool.
But I love this song off the new
nice,
record.
Nice. I appreciate that. Yeah. Thank you. So, I mean, this whole album was such a just a mind blow. We were touring really hard over the last couple of years, and we essentially would find like 24 hours, 48 hours when we could within our tour schedule to fly to Dallas, go to the studio, record a song, maybe song and a half, get back on a plane, fly back to meet the bus, or the bus would get us or whatever. And it was like that for literally 9 months. And so, you know, we talk about individual songs and it's just like, I can't even hardly remember. Like it was such a blur.
Anybody ever make comparisons to Colter Wall's voice and your voice?
Yeah, we both have that. It's kind of screwed up in there, you know?
See, I hear Johnny Cash. You know?
Yeah,
there's a lot
yeah.
of Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
In
and there. It's changed so much over the years. Like, I mean, you know, so we were on 6th Street. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We were on 6th Street for years doing these like 4, some nights 8-hour residency sets, you know, and like you do that long enough, you blow it out long enough, like literally it just starts to change and I was never warming up my voice or doing anything like that in the right way or singing the right way at that. And over time, I had to kind of start forcing myself to sing lower because I could no longer sing a lot of higher stuff. And anyways, I've kind of met in the middle on it and figured out how to warm up and how to do it the right way. And now it's kind of made for this kind of interesting sounding, a little bit more baritone tone. You
and
know?
It's so instantly recognizable, Shane. Shane Smith and the Saints in studio this morning and on their way to the Grand Ole Opry. And this we have learned. Mm-hmm. When you book Shane Smith and the Saints, you're going to draw a crowd.
Yeah.
Because you can't see them. But outside the Magnolia Lobby studio of Gaylord Opryland, they packed around as you started playing and singing. Thank you so much for getting up early, fellas. And
for sure.
Coming to see us.
Thank you for having us.
And that man from old Kentucky on that fiddle over there. That man from old Kentucky on Absolutely. Coffee, Country, and Cody. Good morning.
Thanks for listening to the Coffee, Country, and Cody podcast. Make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And please leave us a 5-star review. This podcast was produced through the facilities of WSM Radio in Nashville, Tennessee. The hosts of Coffee, Country, and Cody are Bill Cody, Charlie Mattos, and Kelly Sutton. Producer Eric Markham, WSM General Manager and Director of Content and Programming, J. Patrick Tittle. Copyright 2023, Opry Entertainment Group Holdings, LLC.
Springer Mountain Farms, the purest, best-tasting chicken available. Visit SpringerMTN.com and join the flock for cooking tips, coupons, and great information. Springer Mountain Farms, simply superior chicken, always great care and great taste.